Hey there, and welcome to the show. This is episode 1148 for October 12th, 2021. We are coming to you live from the Bob Varley studio. My name is Denny Sunderly, and I am filling in today for Pete Warner. And I am joined here by a host of producers. Starting here on my right, I have Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
What?
Yay!
Yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back, Corey.
Thank you. Feels good.
We'll talk to you in just a minute, Corey. And then we've got Rhino on my left.
Hello.
And in the nook, we've got Craig Williams.
Oh, hoy, hoy.
So we are here today, and we have a lot to talk about. We are going to focus on our new friend, quote unquote, Disney Genie today. We have a lot to discuss regarding the genie and...
I thought you meant Corey for a second. I was like, he's right here.
He's right. You're talking about this. Yes. Mm-hmm. He is right here. We're so glad he's right here. But before we talk to Corey, we definitely want to remind you that this show, like all shows that we do here on the Diz, is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you craft the Disney vacation of your dreams. You can visit them today on the web at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And of course, if you like this episode, please consider giving it a like. Just hit that thumbs up button for us, please. And then also consider subscribing to the channel. We would love to have you be a part of the family here at the Diz. So want to throw it over to Mr. Fiascanaro.
Yeah.
So happy you are back, Corey. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better. Feels great to be back. And I'd like to thank everybody who reached out on Instagram or the people I talked to when I was in live chat and things of that nature. All the kind words, all the well wishes really meant the world. You know, sitting there in the hospital waiting for a bed for my procedure, you know, just getting the constant inflow of good wishes and people thinking about me, like it really helped a lot. So I really appreciate all you for doing that for me. It means the world. I know I mentioned it, in the live chat, and I'm sure Pete said something about it on social. What happened was I had a spontaneous pneumothorax, lung collapsed, among some other things. Wasn't COVID, didn't catch COVID or anything like that. They tested everybody on my floor at the hospital every day. So that made me feel really good too. Orlando Health. I mean, we're not sponsored by Orlando Health, but they did a really good job.
Good.
So I feel much better.
It is so good to see your face.
It's so good to see all you guys too.
Yay. We're glad you're back and upright and feeling good. Good enough to be here. Well, yeah. Enough to be here. So yay. Excellent. So thanks so much for coming in today, guys, and for having a chat. We hope that you, over this next, however long this takes, kind of settle in, sit back and snuggle in. We're going to get to know our friend, the Disney Genie, a little bit more. So pour your beverage of choice and put your feet up and let's try to embrace this and wrap our brains around it. Because honestly, it is a lot to wrap our brains around. And Disney, I don't feel like, made it super easy. You know, early adopters never have it super easy. We're always like the guinea pigs, right? But I think Disney, there was some terminology that's confusing that's out there. And we're hoping at the end of this show that it'll be less confusing for you and for everyone else. And I know we're not going to fully know it until it launches on the 19th. And we really start to kind of use this functionality that's going to be in my Disney experience in park. We're going to try to use it in real time and see what it's like. But in the meantime, if we can make it seem a little bit less mysterious and less scary, then that's what we'll do. Anything else before we jump into our conversation regarding the genie? Nope. All right. Off we go. How do you guys feel about the genie and about the announcement? So we were invited, just to bring everyone up to speed, we were invited to a media briefing last Thursday. We were given a heads up about lots of the great details coming in Disney Genie, which, thank you, Disney. Thank you so much for inviting us out, because giving us that 24 hours to really wrap our brains around it helped us to better communicate on Friday once it was time to do so. So we are so thankful that y'all gave us the chance to do that. I actually got to play with Disney Genie, with Genie Plus, and with individual lightning lanes, including the process of buying a lightning lane reservation. What is that like? What are the audio tales like that are going to be a part of Disney Genie Plus? All that jazz. I really got to play with it. I am so grateful for the opportunity to have done that. So it's coming on the 19th. Fiasco, what are your first thoughts?
So I was reading your article, which is just packed with information. I highly recommend anybody that has questions about the Genie, go check that out. Denny did a great job on it. But one of my main concerns going into this was the thought of when you're planning a vacation, you're planning dining reservations, and then you can't, like before with fast passes, you could put them way in advance and you could have your whole day planned out and know this is what I'm doing today before you even got up. But with the new Disney Genie, of course, you're going to have to book those Lightning Lane reservations the day of. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, how is that going to mess with people who, you know, planned to go to Cinderella's Royal Table for dinner or Jungle Skipper Canteen or something? Like, oh, I can get a really good Mine Train right now or a really good Thunder Mountain right now, but it's going to interfere with dinner. But your article covered, like, it seems like Disney Genie has a smart aspect to it where it knows, oh, this is what they already had planned, and the things that they're going to recommend for you are not going to interfere with what you already have set up. So that was good. That was really good. I still do wish, I mean, I get it. I get it. I still do wish I could plan things ahead of time, mm-hmm. especially as a local. Mm-hmm. If I was coming here on vacation, I think I'd care a lot less. But as a local, I loved sitting there and just being like, oh, I got a flight of passage for next week. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you know that you got that. But you know, I feel like with Flight of Passage now being paid, if like I super had the urge to go, like I'm sure the morning of it probably won't be too difficult to just grab it, but it still doesn't feel great paying for something that used to be complimentary with my annual pass, you know?
Yeah, that is absolutely. That's been part of the rub about this whole thing for so long is the fact that this is continuing to just erode the some of the perks that we got just for buying the park ticket, right? Yeah. You got your park ticket. Everyone's on a level playing field. So many days in advance, you can try to book your fast passes. You can have everything color-coded on your spreadsheets, the whole nine yards. And this really, we started at it being a day of experience. And then went to, oh, you got 180 days, like, or even 60 days to be able to book those fast passes. And now it's back to being a day of experience yep. thing again. And, you know, Uncle Jeff isn't taking everyone's ticket media and booking it across to Tomorrowland to get fast passes for Space Mountain, but it's essentially the same thing. Yes, Rhino.
Jeff is my stepfather.
He's my brother-in-law.
I'm sorry. You said my, Uncle Jeff.
I actually do have an Uncle Jeff. I do.
I'm just laughing because I'm like,
that's
you made
awesome.
It, like, I was able to picture it all yeah. so well. Yeah, perfect.
You can connect on a deeper
yeah,
level.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. What are you thinking, Rhino?
I hate everything.
You did a whole news video on it on Saturday. You did a great
job.
Well,
using your article too, which I made sure to say in there because your article was very extensive and did lay it out really well. I don't know. I have been very negative about a lot of the stuff at Disney lately. I feel like because it does feel like it's not just Disney. There's a lot of pressure everywhere. I just read today the gas prices are about to go off the chart again, but it's like, it feels like, again, tone deaf, one thing after another. And so now here we are, and I'm like, why? We had it so quiet and so good for a second,
it was
right?
So good.
And then they were like, well, we're going to make it really, really complicated again. Ultimately, whether this does or doesn't work, we'll have to wait and see, obviously, for that. My thing about it is that it has become so complicated. Like, how does somebody – I don't even want to say people of an older generation because it's shocking to me how little, like, my younger sister knows how to use a computer, barely. And so I'm like, I think I take for granted being somebody that knows how to do all this and just assume everybody does. It feels like we're getting to the point where we're really starting to alienate people being like we already know the cell phone is a necessity. And now it's like the anxiety of being like, well, that cell phone battery is going to last all day because I'm sure everybody has a cell phone battery that lasts all day. Am I right?
But it's going to be Disney, you know, Genie brought to you by Fuel Rod.
Yeah. Right. Or, you know, the lounge flies, the tiny, those will just be filled with yes. battery, one battery pack after another. But I don't know. The thing that not worries me, but I did, I don't remember if it was in your article or I heard it afterwards, but that the fact that there's no limit to it too in a day, right? And I don't know how late in the day, I think you can buy it probably up to closing, but they said that there will be no cap to the amount of people that can buy it per day. Right. So, but then that's under the assumption that, like, let's say we're talking about like Christmas Day or you know, Thanksgiving or whatever, you know, like these, really 4th of July days, I don't know. It would take, you know, more than half of the park, I think, to really affect everything else, because we still don't have FastPass. And when we had FastPass and it was free and there were that many people in the park, more people were going to take advantage of the free thing than I think they will of the paid thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I've been thinking about that a little bit more and like how that will have that kind of impact and stuff. And I don't know.
So one of the questions I asked last Thursday in the briefing was, okay, so if somebody is rolling into the park later in the afternoon and they want to purchase an individual lightning lane, like they want to get on Rise, and will they be able to see before they opt in to purchase if there are any, you know, lightning lane reservations left, individual lightning lane reservations left? And I was told, yes, they'll be able to see. So you're not going to be buying something blindly necessarily as far as the individual lightning lanes are concerned. But I was also told in the next sentence that this will be something that is suggested to be done earlier in the day. So that so that rolling in later in the day and expecting to be able to pay $15 to ride Rise, which is what the cost will be when it launches on October 19th and then again on Saturday the 23rd. It's gonna stay at 15 for those 2 days. Where it goes after that, anybody's guess. But so if you want to take advantage of these, that especially the individual lightning lanes, you want to do so earlier in the day.
Okay.
While there isn't a cap on how many people can opt in on it, there is going to be a cap on those individual lightning lane reservations.
The individual ones, mm-hmm. right? But yep. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Gregory?
Interesting.
What are your initial thoughts?
I'm still very mixed on it. I've admitted wholeheartedly, this will not be a service that I use. I will use it the first time I go into the park after it's open on October 19th, since that is a Tuesday. Unfortunately not be there for the day one launch of it. So hopefully I'll be able to see it on that following Wednesday and get my first experience with it. But I just, it's not going to be a service that I use because I am a local and I understand, like, I'm okay with the fact that, you know, if things are a little bit crazier than I want to in terms of wait times, than I want them to be in terms of wait times, I can always just choose to not, I can choose to just not stay there and move about on my day and go back at another time. And yeah. So I still have the nervousness about how widely is this going to be adopted. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have been there at the event with you to try to ask Disney flat out what they think the adoption rate is going to be on it. Because if they think, like, oh, we think 20% of guests each day are going to use it, I would fully expect it to be like, okay, this isn't going to make a huge impact. But if they think that they're going to have 50, 60% of the guests each day using this, as I've been saying since its announcement, it's going to then be that force to push you forward to saying, if you want the same playing field that all these other people are on, then you will have to buy into it. Mm-hmm. And that's where, obviously, I, like many people, are soured on it. It's great as a choice, but if too many people choose it, it will become the norm, not the okay, well, we want this special little add-on. And that's what I have a feeling that it's going to become. However, then there's also the side of, like, looking at Disneyland Paris. I know that, you know, they obviously went to the paid FastPass system first in terms of the individual attractions. And from what I've seen from people saying is that, you know, it was not used well, so they started dropping prices mm-hmm. on it. Would love to see the same thing here on our coast, that they'll actually, like, they'll take that into consideration if it's not doing well, try to tweak the system and make it better. But I'm optimistic that it doesn't throw everything out of balance completely. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I would like to see changed immediately, I hate the two individual paid attractions at each park. And I think that's a mistake. I could see there being one at each park, but it just seems unnecessary at this point. Runaway Railway has basically not had over a 75-minute wait. Right. Since it came out. Why is that a paid option? Why in the world is Expedition Everest paid option?
20-minute wait usually these days.
20, how old is this attraction now? 20 years old? Uh-huh. And so some things I think they're just making.
Wait.
They're trying to just keep it even across the field. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be.
Oh, okay. But, so that's what I'm saying. You're saying that it's absurd that, like, that Everest at this point, you know, should be a part of the regular, the standard issued one. Yeah, I see that it didn't have to be a two park because not all the. Well, I think maybe it's a statement more of trying to be like, they're trying to say like, oh, this warrants it. Because if the park, one park doesn't have two, then it says it doesn't have two must do attractions, which then says, why is it being charged? Why is the entrance the same amount of money then if it doesn't have two must do attractions?
So it's a hype machine.
I think it's probably like hype, analytic, and just, again, a money grab. Thing, but yeah, I'm with you. What level does it get to when it comes off of that list? Are they going to have to wait until, so like at Hollywood Studios, we'll say, you know, Mickey and Rise and even with Rise, like we said, we said we thought it was going to be hours and hours and hours of a wait, and it ended up being like a fairly decent wait. I mean, I got to ride it for, you know, it took less than an hour to wait. So that was so fine. Great. But I'm like, when does that go off the list? If Everest is on the list, then I guess never, because it would be like it'd take over 20 years, right?
Yeah, there in everything that they've said, it's up to two. So at any time, that could change. Space Mountain could absolutely be replaced with Tron, which, you know, was hinted at the briefing on Thursday. So I would definitely.
Someone in the chat just said it also has a single rider line. So it
there you go.
And you, it's and mm-hmm. I think it's one of the only ones in this list that has it. So it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, but if you want to ride Everest, if you want to ride Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, please roll up to those attractions about 10 minutes prior to park closing, and you'll be fine. You don't have to worry about paying, you know, individual lightning lanes, but I understand that may not work in with your park day, but there are definitely other options about, you know, to be able to get onto those attractions as a part of your regular park day. Go ahead.
I don't know if we're in it yet or when you want to talk about it, but one thing that I thought was interesting when I was reading about it on Friday from your article was that about knowing what you're doing, and I was like, that is going to where it's saying, like, if your itinerary is pre-made throughout the day and you're at Hollywood Studios and for some reason you get on Slinky Dog, maybe it went down and came back up, you know, and it had a 10-minute wait, and that, but you weren't supposed to go on Slinky Dog till 5 o'clock, it erases it out of the 5 o'clock thing, which is kind of a bummer, because I'm like, what if you want to ride it twice?
So yeah, this is what I said to Jackie after I got home from the briefing. We ended up FaceTiming, Jackie and I did, because we needed to try to look each other in the eyeballs and figure all this stuff out. But essentially, I just said it's very Big Brother. It's very Big Brother. So here's in a cliff note kind of way, if you've not read the article, or if you're at all foggy on what Disney Genie is. So Disney Genie, and this is Disney in the way that they use their words. And unfortunately, some of the words kind of get all mixed up. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. So Disney Genie is going to be a function within the My Disney Experience app. If you don't already have My Disney Experience, it's time, baby. It's time to go ahead. Get that app. It's going to appear there on the 19th, and there's a bunch of free and complimentary elements to the app. In fact, the way that Disney looks at it is the free and complimentary portion of the app is the largest. Like, that's what they lead with when they're describing Disney Genie. They want you to know all the things that you can do for free, which that's good. So you and your family you and your dearest friends are rolling into Magic Kingdom for the day. You can pick your top favorite attractions, your must-dos for the day. Put those in. You can also put in any interests that you have. Like, I really like Disney princesses. I really like Disney villains. I really want to see the fireworks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can plunk that in as well. And you can put in any reservations that you are interested in getting. Now, it'll already know your reservations that are linked to your ticket media for the day. So it's gonna know you've got Cinderella's Royal Table for 6:20, and there's, you know, it might say, hey, you could be doing this at 6:20 just in case you want to, because it'll make suggestions for you. But you can easily say, nope, I'm good, because I'm not giving up that reservation come you know what or high water. So you'll put in all of that stuff. You'll also put in any enchanting extras that you want to do, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique when it comes back online, building a lightsaber at Savvy's, that kind of thing. And then, and here, this was really, really cool. So at the briefing, we got to see the behind the scenes, how the brain of Disney Genie works. So you put in on the guest facing side.
It's that guy
side.
From the Captain America movie, right? Who's in the computer?
Absolutely. Yes. Oh, Zola.
Hello, Zola.
Yeah, Zola.
That's it.
That's the mind?
That's yeah, exactly. In the bunker in New Jersey. Yeah. It's Mickey Mouse in a bunker in New Jersey. Bless his heart. Yeah. But behind the scenes, it's going to score. It's going to come up with all these scenarios. Okay, Fiasco wants to ride Space Mountain. He wants to ride Big Thunder, and he wants to eat at Cinderella's Royal Table. That just sounds like you, right? So you'll put in all that, and you'll say, hey, and I want to see Disney Enchantment too, because I haven't seen that. So that's a must do.
I haven't.
So then Disney Genie will spit back to you an itinerary, and you can either say, yeah, I want that, or you can move things around. It's completely flexible. Again, this is the free complimentary portion, okay? And it'll tell you, okay, between 10:25 and this time, go ahead and go to, we suggest you go to Big Thunder Mountain so that you can get that done before your reservation, that kind of thing. So that's the, it's also going to have your restaurant tip board. So, hey, by the way, Pecos Bills has some mobile ordering times coming up if you're hungry, or, hey, you know, why not do this, that, and the other, forgive me, in this, that, and the other order. And you can switch it around, like I said. Disney Genie Plus, that's the paid model. That's the $15 per guest per day, and it will give you an itinerary, but you can then say, here are my must-dos for the day, and that $15 is like giving you a chance to kind of take those lightning lanes, but you have a certain time that you have to be back at that attraction. You can't move it. It's not going to be as flexible. You need to go to the next available time. So it'll say, hey, Fiasco, be at Big Thunder Mountain at 10:25. And then we'll tell you what you're going to do next. Okay. And then individual lightning lanes. Those will not appear in the Genie Plus options. You will not be able to choose from those. Those are your extras. You don't have to do Genie Plus if you're doing individual lightning lanes. And of course, I kind of sit there and go, man, wait. I wish they had come up with different terminology for this thing.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh no, no. I don't know. I mean, I guess I knew that.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, no, never mind. I was going to say, so you don't have to have paid into the paid service to use the lightning lane.
Right, exactly.
Right? Okay.
Exactly. It's a la carte completely. So like a suggestion I gave in the article was, if you roll into Hollywood Studios and your sole goal is to get, you know, Bobby Sue on Rise of the Resistance, because she's going to throw a fit if she doesn't get on that ride, then you go ahead and opt in for whoever in your group, and you can kind of say, no, Uncle Jeff's not going to ride. It's just going to be me and Bobby Sue, and we're going to be good. And then you pay for those in the app with the credit card that you have associated with My Disney Experience. You pay for it on the fly. You get that, and you go and ride. You don't have to do Genie Plus in order to still have the lightning lane, individual lightning lane attractions. So my suggestion was, if you only want to ride Rise, roll into that park, stand in all the standbys you want to, and get the individual lightning lane for Rise. But if you have more than that one or two attraction, the top tier that you want to ride, and you want to kind of be guaranteed that you can do so, it's going to be Disney Genie Plus. And Craig, I feel like this will be adopted by and large, eventually. I think we're going to, and I could eat my words, and I hope I do. But I think in a couple years' time, we're going to look back and go, yep. Like all the other things that we have beat our chest over the years, we can't believe it's happening. We can't believe it's coming. Let's, you know, storm the gates. But ultimately, it is something that there will be enough out there. You were talking about percentages, Craig. I have a feeling there's going to be enough out there willing to fork over the money that, yeah, it's another $425 for my trip. Okay.
Potentially. So the only reason I say that, too, is I've seen Blog Mickey post an article about it, a conversation that we've brought up before as well, too, that many other people have brought up. A lot of it comes down to the reliability of Disney and them actually being able to suggest attractions based on their wait times being correct. Mm-hmm. And as we've known for the over a year now, it's gotten a lot better, but it is still few and far between when Disney is accurate about its wait times. So when you're paying them to give you suggestions about where to go based on inaccurate information from them, mm-hmm. that's not okay. So they have to get their, I won't say
they
bad words with it. They
got
to get their stuff together and figure out once and for all. And it's going to be a challenge because then once Lightning Lane's thrown back in and people are using that, then that's going to start altering the wait times before, which that's, you know, it's, they will need time to get their feet mm-hmm. under for them. So I'm willing to give them a grace period, but by like 6 months into it, they need to have their wait times as accurate as possible. Because you know what? It gets thrown out all the time in our chat, and we don't talk about it enough with it. But yeah, Disney essentially, for the free paid option of this, they took a page out of Touring Plan's book.
Oh, sure.
And the last time that my college roommate was in town, he is an avid supporter of the Touring Plan's app, and I was with him going on rides, and because of user submissions and everything that they know, you bet like 100% of the time their app, whatever it said Disney's posted wait time was, and if it said, 10 minutes shorter, every single time it was correct. So if Disney wants to steal ideas and I don't want to just say steal ideas, but repurpose it to what they want their bigger plans to be, they're going to also have to be better.
Yeah.
And just saying, with ours, you know, you have to have, you get Lightning Lane and all AR filters, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure we'll go into that too, but I'm done.
No, you're exactly right, though. In order, it's got to be better than what we can get out there as a Disney World fan already. It's got to be even better, but it's so funny. Bless Disney's heart. If they see something that's super popular, that's making money, whether it be Etsy celebratory buttons that you can wear that say, hey, I'm just here for the snacks, or I'm here Disney bounding, daggone it, Disney will say, we can do that too.
And unless it's the 50th anniversary, and then they can't apparently make buttons that said, celebrating, I'm here today. Jeez Louise.
Where were the buttons, Craig? Where were the buttons? I don't know. So sad. But yeah, they're going to say, I can do it too. And in fact, let's just take all that money for ourselves. So yeah, so you brought up the AR lenses that are also a part of Disney Plus. So again, this is Genie Plus. This is part of the paid part of the three-pronged Disney Genie. So if you opt into Disney Genie Plus, you will get 20. I want to say it was around 20. Say it again.
I believe 25.
25. Okay, I might be excellent. Wrong. The person at our briefing wasn't 100%. It was going to get back to the person who asked the question about how many, and he stuck it at 20 to begin with. So I'm glad that there are 25. And as a Remy fan, I really enjoyed the fact that there is a Remy AR lens in there. It looks like you are wearing the chef's hat like Linguini does in the movie. And Remy's in there pulling your hair when you, you know, lean to the left or lean to the right. It's really, really cute. Nice. You can make you or your friends the genie from Aladdin, which is really cute. But this is kind of...
offensive.
It's offensive. Offensive. Yes, offensive. But that's kind of their way to say, hey, look, we're not giving you photo pass, but look what we are giving you. Isn't it fantastic? You can snap selfies and make your friends look like things. It's not. It's not no, fantastic I, to I, see. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got to use it at the 50th anniversary media event. I got to use the demo of it. And I understand that there will be people out there that enjoy the AR lenses, but something about it, like I know, you know, from time to time there will eventually be like a filter that everyone loves using and posting on Instagram or wherever, but I feel like more and more the idea of filters have gone away as social media has progressed. So it seems like an idea that would have been really cool 5 years ago that is now way past its prime. Just my take on it.
No, which bless its heart is kind of par for the course with Disney. A lot of times they adopt technology that would have been, that was the bee's knees, you know, that's for you, Jackie. That was the bee's knees years ago, but is not, you know, it's kind of moved on since then, but it is cute. I will say that you can, there's a Lady and the Tramp AR lens where if you and a friend are next to each other, you've got the end of one spaghetti noodle in your mouth and it shows your friend has the end of the spaghetti noodle in theirs. So it is cute. But anyhow, you also get Audio Tales and it's going to launch with around 20 of these Audio Tales. These are going to be, you know, the headphones that you would see people wearing in the museum that would help them when you were a kid, that would help them hear or understand exactly what's going on in a different, installation you're looking at. That's what this is going to be. It's behind the scenes. What?
Sorry, somebody in the chat said Snapchat doesn't cost $15 a day. That is a valid point.
Well, amen. Amen. We hear you. But so the Audio Tales will be Imagineering behind the scenes information, which is really cool. So on my, when I was playing with the app, I was buying a Lightning Lane reservation and I put in my top things and that I was going to CRT because I was really going for the gusto. And then, so it suggested since I was going to be near Cinderella Castle and I had a few minutes to spare, it suggested that I stop by the mosaics, in the passageway through the castle. So as you stand there, so you're supposed to walk up to the mosaics and stand there and pull up the app on your phone and you press the listen now button and an Imagineer or whomever narrator starts talking to you and there's a picture of the mosaic, like the center mosaic that comes up in Genie Plus. And so that you know to look at the correct mosaic as it's talking to you about the mosaic itself.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I actually really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I still, the paid Lightning Lane thing, I still need to try it to really get a vibe for it. But, you know, when I was coming on vacation from Massachusetts, I was the type of person to plan out my fast passes all in the morning, those three, like Peter Pan, Haunted Mansion, whatever, all right in the morning, and then use them up and then just go until I can't go anymore and be like, and like me and my friends would be like, I got 8 fast passes today. Oh, I got 9. And like set like our records and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was like one of the funnest parts about Disney for us. So it's like, it just feels like the paid option is worse than that. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I haven't used it yet. The verdict's still out, but I really like that walkthrough audio concept. But
even then, I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Lou Mangiello do this like 15 years ago?
So this yes, he did. He did all of his walk through the Magic Kingdom land. So literally they're like, we'll take a little bit of touring plans and a dash of Lou Mangiello, please. And we'll just whip it up into
sprint that all in.
All, yeah, it is. It is absolutely. You started saying it.
Now that song's going to be eating me alive.
I will say, I saw the question brought up in there, and I feel like it. One of the things I was happy to see with it was that, you know, there was the question after the first announcement is how many are you going to be able to hold at once? And of course, they have clarified with it that one at a time until you hit the 2 hour mark and then you'll be able to book a second one. So if you do book one at like 12 o'clock, but it's for a 7 o'clock ride time, you don't have to wait all the way to 7 o'clock until you book again. You can get another one after 2 o'clock, which that was absolutely needed. I mean, that's part of how that's why FastPass was able to work as well as it did with that in there. So I don't know if Disney was always intending that to be a part of it, but whoever made the decision to make sure that there was a time that you a maximum time before you could book an or minimum time before you could book another one like that, that needed to be in there. So that's a nice positive aspect of it.
Well, and another another question that was raised last week. And in the briefing, somebody mentioned, you know, let's go ahead and, cause we were playing with it. And so we were all sitting there and we're putting in our attractions that we want to do in Genie Plus. And I asked, okay, so how many of these, what's the max amount of attractions that I can put into Genie Plus? And he said, right now for testing purposes, it's set at eight attractions max. And I said, okay, what is it going to launch with? Yes, for a day. I said, what is it going to launch with? And he said, well, he was a little foggy on that, a little fuzzy, but he said, it might be the same. And I said, okay, so a family of four. So you would look at each family member and say, okay, what's your top two attractions, your must-dos for this day that we can't leave this park without doing? And he said, yeah, like, you know, each one will get a couple. So we will see if that actually comes to fruition. Go ahead.
So, wait, so how many, if so you can tell this monster how many attractions that you want to go on.
Yeah, eight.
So you can say up to eight. How many does it actually schedule within the itinerary? Does it schedule the eight for the day?
It'll get you those eight. So it'll think in the background. It's always scoring itineraries in the background.
I find that. I'm going to be really curious. Yeah. I bet that limit drops. Do you think it drops or increases?
Oh, I hope it increases.
No, because when I worked there, and you know, it's been years, but in 2015, they were like a successful day as a guest being able to experience like four attractions. So I'm shocked that they're trying to say eight off the bat. I'm guess they're assuming, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not a computer. I can't tell you.
I know. Beep, boop, boop. I know. We were told that this is all about maximizing the guests' time, optimizing the guest time, and maximizing the guests' fun. And so the computer behind the scenes will
Zelda.
Right. When you say, Rhino, I want to ride these eight attractions. I want to make that reservation. I want to eat Casey's Corner at some point today because they've got a new hot dog and I want to see the fireworks. It's going to score all the scenarios behind the scenes and it's going to push out to you the highest scoring scenario or itinerary that it believes meets all your needs, and so
it's going to adjust during the day, right? Like it said, if you get to do something earlier or whatever,
it'll know. If you've opted in and you've got your Bluetooth enabled smartphone,
what do you think is going to happen though when people can't meet the itinerary?
You can reoptimize. So if you're, and now we're talking about for Disney Genie Plus, you can't reoptimize.
To MIT to go to Walt Disney World anymore. Yeah. I can already hear my mother screaming at me.
And let me back up real quick. So you can reoptimize in Disney Genie, the free complimentary itinerary.
Oh, okay.
In Genie Plus, you cannot reoptimize. You need to go book it over to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad when it tells you to. That's your guaranteed spot.
And if you miss it,
you might
that's
be
it.
Able to reshuffle. This is it.
Yeah, okay.
This is it. That's my understanding. Okay. Craig, is that your understanding?
I like was not told anything with that. However, okay. I feel like there has to be wiggle room because
there has to be,
you know, when a restaurant is particularly slow and screws up, and I'm not saying like on servers or anything, I'm just obviously things happen and sometimes you are late. That's why the grace period has always existed to a point, and I hope And be calm. Be calm when you're talking to the person who's standing out front of the Lightning Lane line when you're going through all of this. And make sure to take lots of screenshots on your phone too. And yeah, make sure if you ever have any scenarios like that, if that is something where they're being really strict about hitting that time and no leeway or grace, make sure that Disney does know your feelings on that subject as well too.
So this makes me think of something else. With if you had a fast pass or Peter Pan's flight, let's say, and the ride went down during your fast pass time, that's a bummer itself enough, and then usually you can get something to come back later. I wonder how they're going to handle that with this, though, because I feel like people are going to be paying the money to go on, let's say, Space Mountain, and let's say Space Mountain goes down, they show up for their time, and now everything needs to be redone, but this is a paid feature now. It's not just a complimentary like FastPass was.
Yeah, and it'll be like Disney, the computer, the brain behind Genie knows when there are weather outage, like the attractions down for weather. It knows that's happening, that's occurring. And so my understanding is it will account for that. And they likened it again because they like to bring this up, that it's just like Max Pass at Disneyland, to which I go, well, okay, yes and no, because generally everyone loved Max Pass. And it was something that really did optimize, you know, the guest's day. So I hope Genie Plus is going to be somewhat like Max Pass, because that would be okay. So it will actually know that something is down, and that's the point at which it'll let you know. And I'm hoping it'll reshuffle things for you a little bit, but we're going to have to, like, this is part of it that we're going to have to flesh out when we're in the park. Like, okay, we're going to have to see if I'm not able to make Big Thunder Mountain at 10:25, what happens? And okay, if it goes down for weather, how does that appear on my phone? What does it look like? All that jazz. It'll be interesting to see that.
I hope that so at least one person in the chat, I'm still not sure on this. Apparently there is going to be flexibility in terms of the regular Lightning Lane with that. But like, and so if weather happened right now with FastPass Plus, you always then got the, you know, you got the option, the extra free one that said you can go and use this at any. I'm hoping that they built that in as
the
well, too.
But
Yeah. So I would hope that they have something like that in here that's a that's a backup plan for it. But I don't know. I want to know who asked for this system. And I think they should line up and we should all just get to, like, take that glove and slap them in a duel, because
just pies in their faces.
Something, you know, something not enough to hurt them, but enough to at least hurt their spirit for wanting this system to be in place.
It was really interesting because, Rhino, you sent in, you forwarded to us an article that you read about Bob Chapek last week. And that article was all, for in large part, centered around the fact that Bob Chapek loves data.
Yes.
Data. What do the numbers say? Let's base things, build things off of data.
Okay.
And friends, that's exactly what Disney Genie is.
And
it
I was just going to say,
data-driven Disney park experience.
This was I wrote it in my notes earlier. What a segue. I can't believe this came up naturally. I literally wrote this down to say it after we got through a little more into this, is that I am concerned with how the new Magic Band ties into this, how with Magic Bands they were tracking you before, but now with this phone, it's precise, it's how are you dealing with certain obstacles. So it's like, I get it. This is the positive way where you'd want to use technology like this. But if Bob Chapek is trying to squeeze every penny he can and do what he's doing, and is this data guy, are you telling me Disney is not going to sell this information to other people? And I don't know that it'll be specific, but I guarantee you that there is a target in the future somewhere that is using the same type of information about tracking people and where they're moving. I can't tell you how annoying my notifications on my phone are now. And I hate when I Google one thing online to look for a gift for somebody or something like that, and I either put it in my car or I bought it, and then I get emails, push notifications, and everything from Amazon about the thing I already bought, trying to be like, well, if you liked this, you'll like this other version of it. And I'm like, I already have it. What do you want? What do you want from me? Like, but that's my fear, is this is getting sold to somebody else, and this and it's going to be used in ways, and we'll all track it back here someday.
Yeah.
But that's not my fear that they're going to sell private information necessarily, maybe, but this is a test bed for something else.
I'm not worried about them selling private information, but in terms of analytics, I mean, something that comes up a lot in our day-to-day jobs with what we do, and at the end of the day, you can't just go solely based off analytics. It has to be a blend of multiple things. Analytics is a huge part of it, but you know, gut feelings even come into play with it to a certain extent, with some more than other. You know, Pete loves his gut feelings on stuff, but he also is constantly studying analytics as well too. So there always has to be the balance. And then it's also just asking your audience or customers, whatever, what they actually want from it. And so I'm okay with the overanalyzing all of the data, but I need to know that there's also someone in the background too that's also playing devil's advocate and saying, yeah, okay, but maybe we shouldn't just pay attention to the data, because data can also be pushed in a certain direction.
But that article that Denny's talking about that I read, that's essentially what the concern is right now, is that is Bob Iger's job right now, is mm-hmm. supposed to be the gut feeling guy mm-hmm. still. And when he's, now that he's essentially done, that was the article was talking about how they were at their last employee thing, and he got up and said, you have to remember, it can't all be data, it has to be gut. And Chapek got up and said, this is now a data-driven company. And you're like, and that's where you're like, when Bob Iger goes, there's nothing, there's nobody else that's like pushed up against this guy. It's just, this stupid, and it's not just him. It's not just him either. Everybody needs to know who runs the things that happen in the parks. Things come down and things go up, but they go through more than one person. So it's not just like we have this one head to cut off. There are a million other heads that aren't as great as we think they are, or maybe like.
And you listen to the next time that Disney has its earnings call, and you listen to every single bank that's on there asking questions, an investor firm that's on there asking questions. That's who Disney cares about, not the person who owns 10 shares of stocks that are down in there.
Or has every movie on VHS in a clamshell.
Hey, I also have them on DVD and Blu-ray. I will not convert to 4K for those Disney movies. There is a limit. Thank you.
Thank heavens.
I mean, so like, I feel like this definitely is a testbed for something, like you said, Rhino. Like this Lightning Lane with Genie Plus is obviously the counterpart of Fast Pass Plus. But like, I'm waiting for the day, and like, I don't even know if this is even that far-fetched to say, like, we're going to reduce a lot of our, like, if Disney did something along the lines of like, we're going to reduce a lot of our character meet and greet experiences, even the social distance ones. So you're not going to see Tinkerbell anymore. You're not going to see Peter Pan anymore. But on the Disney Genie Plus, there's this option where you can summon Peter mm-hmm. Pan to your family's location for $500. You know, like what?
There you go.
Like what happens when that day comes, you know?
That'd be crazy.
I build a cabin in the woods. I cut all power lines, any landlines.
You're off the grid.
I'm off gone
the grid.
That day, the Corgis completely. And I start over.
Yep. That's right. There are, while it is driven, and they said, so running in the background, the computer is based on, you know, data that's been tracked over the last couple of years, right? So forecasted wait times, actual wait times, outages, the whole nine yards. That's all running in the background. But there is a little bit of compassion sprinkled into Disney Genie, because in part of the itinerary, as part of the itinerary, they are going to try to work in getting you as, you know, they're not going to send you from Adventureland over to Tomorrowland and then back to Frontierland. They're going to have you knock out your must-dos in a nice way, so you don't have to drag grandma all over the place when grandma walking is not her favorite, or you know, whatever. It's going to be, you know, it's going to have things a little bit closer. What were you going to say?
It's Craig? Not please. Often I recognize someone comment. In the chat, but it got both Rhino and I. It was from Dohers, I believe is how you would say it, and it's the Genie Plus notification will be, oh, we just saw you rode Dumbo. Maybe you would also enjoy the magic carpets of Aladdin in Astro Orbiter.
Yeah.
I'm like,
perfect.
That's awesome.
That's what it will
okay,
be.
That wins the day.
I liked it.
That is great. I love that. It's also going to it's also going to have a virtual assistant feature, the free slash complimentary portion of Disney Genie, so that if you've got a question about whatever, you can go on the virtual assistant. You can hit that button and ask a question, and a cast member will get right back to you on your with a quick answer. And if as someone who just recently went on Disney Cruise Line and experienced that new functionality in the DCL Navigator app, if it works like that did, that's brilliant. Because I was able to ask a dining question and get an answer like that. It was fantastic. Yeah. So those are going to be the cast members in the bunker in New Jersey, I think, because they're just going to have to be sitting there waiting for questions to come in.
And I would love for it to be that functionality as well, too. Mm-hmm. And I hope it is on Disney Cruise Line. It's a lot easier to do it because, you know, maximum you can only have whatever 4,000 or 5,000 people on a ship anyway. So it's easy to have enough cast members on board who can help answer questions that come in when it's a limited group. But with Walt Disney World, when you have over 100,000 people at any point in time that can ask questions, I also worry that before you're able to ask the actual question, it's going to be like you have to jump through 6 hoops of, like, on Apple, if you have something wrong and you just need to schedule a Genius Bar employee, you have to, like, answer every single FAQ about, like, is it... Please tell us what machine
it is. You sure you don't want us to call you? Yeah. You're like, no.
Exactly. It's like, I know my computer has a black screen. It won't turn on. I know I have to go to the Genius Bar. Just let me book an appointment. I worry that it's going to do the same thing too with that, where it's going to make you be like, well, what is your problem? Maybe you can resolve it this way. Maybe you can resolve it that way. Still not able to resolve your problem? Okay. Let's go ahead and put you in touch with a cast member. And so, that's a big fear. There is nothing to say that will happen, but if that does happen, it's pointless
to get somebody on the phone. You have to go through those hoops all the time, I feel like, lately, where it's like, I don't want to keep reading you my name and my email into the computer.
Well, and there's a way that you can chat with a cast member now, especially if you're a resort guest. That would be great. So we had a question the night before the 50th, and my hubby jumped on to MDX and pulled that up and asked his question. And I believe it was 5 hours, if I remember correctly. It got funnier and funnier as the evening went on. And I finally told him, put that away, because he was stewing about it. He was so angry that it was taking so long to get back to him.
Wait, but, 5 hours to receive a text message answer back?
Yes.
Okay, so real people are...
I'm hoping it's a little shorter than that. Let's just hope. Obviously, for testing purposes, when they plunked in a question, they got an answer right back, you know, during the briefing. So let's hope it's as easy as that.
Denny, can you answer this question? Because somebody asked me in the chat. I don't know what it is. They say, if you have a park hopping ticket and want to ride Remy's later, since you either do virtual queue or paid lightning lane, can you book from a different park?
Yes. So if you have a ticket media that has park hopping option, Genie is going to know that. And you can say, hey, I'm going to park hop. It's going to ask you which park and at what time you intend to park hop. And then it'll ask you what your must-dos are in that next park. And then it'll re-optimize your day and send out a new itinerary to you, showing you, okay, you're starting off in Hollywood Studios, and then you're going to park hop to Epcot to go ride Remy's. Here's the thing about Remy's. If you're going to park hop to Remy's and you want an individual Lightning Lane reservation, if you want to ride Remy's, start off in Epcot, because you want to try to get that as early in the day as possible. And if you wait till later in the day, that's just going to be really hard to get one of those Lightning Lane attractions. Now, I think you can book that in the morning. So if you know from the word go, I'm going to park hop over to Epcot, I think you can go ahead and choose those right away. So it might be a moot point, but it's worth just mentioning. So yes, park hopping is a-okay. They do want you to park hop. It will recognize, because it's going to ask you all the same questions that it asks you for your park of origin for the day. So I hope that helps. Any other questions from chat that we need to address? Any other anything? Because we want to make sure we're as thorough as possible as we all embrace this new technology. Any questions?
I don't know if there's... I mean, we're covering a lot. And then obviously some people are asking questions from time to time that we might have already answered earlier. And so...
Awesome.
But we'll also see. There's also a delay on this. So we might get it at the point, like right now, as I'm still rambling on, trying to waste a couple seconds to see if anything does come in.
A dopey Tigger is saying, do I need Jeannie to order a beer? No. A dopey Tigger, you can roll up to Baseline Tap House and get yourself a beer if you want to. No Jeannie required. So I think that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Rhino thinks that's a good thing for sure.
Can you ride the same ride more than once? I think that's
my
important.
Understanding. So, Sean Miranda is asking if you can ride multiple times with Jeannie Plus. My understanding is that no, you've ridden it once, and once is enough for you for the day. So if you
you can pop back in the regular.
Yes, you can. Exactly. And that's what I was saying. If you want to ride it again, you will ride it via the standby line. So hopefully.
That's called progress.
Is that Carousel of Progress? Is that called progress? That's called progress. There's your Carousel of Progress moment for the day. Hopefully you just want to write it once or you have patience at the end of the day.
There have been questions in here about the DAS Pass, if they have said anything about that.
Yep. So DAS is completely different now. They have said, I didn't include that into my article because there's a good amount of additional research that's required with that. My understanding is that you will, and it's different if you can, there's a before you come option that you can kind of plan out which attractions a little bit more, and then there's a day of option. And so I'll try to dig out some answers on that and do an article on that for the Diz coming up soon. And if that article comes to fruition, I will drop it in the comments below when it does. It will be different, but my understanding from those who utilize DAS, and we have lifelong friends who are coming down in November who will utilize DAS, have had to utilize it in the past. And so it'll be interesting to kind of pick their brains a little bit on the new system and how they like the functionality of it. But from what I understand, for those who have used DAS in the past, they are okay with the changes that are coming, that maybe their thoughts and considerations were taken into account. So I certainly hope that is the case. But I will definitely do some digging, and I'll try to put a little article out there so that we can all understand it together as much as we can before we flush it out in park. Anything else? Anything else? Question wise, it's a lot. I said this in my article. Everybody, this is a lot, and a lot of it we can try to understand before we actually get in the park and hold Jeannie in our hands and tell it to plan our day. Yeah. And a lot of it we're not going to understand until we actually have boots on the ground in that moment.
Right.
And it's going to be super interesting. Super interesting. Craig, I think we need a video of Craig's best Disney day using Disney Genie Plus. I think we need that video.
Someone's got to go and do it for us on that Tuesday. I just don't know who it's going to be. Yeah. Like literally, even for this show, we could only get three people to show up to the table.
Hey, it's quality, not quantity. It's okay. It's okay. Although we miss our friends. I'm not saying we don't. I'm not saying we're the best.
I liked how you said it. I liked it.
That's it. The creme de la creme. No, we are not. We're good. We're good for now.
Somebody has to say it.
Okay, Rhino. We know it's a lot. So if you have questions, pop them down in the comments section. If you're watching this back later, definitely, if we have answers, we'll pop in there and try to answer them. Try to read that article. I watched so many videos. We were allowed to make an audio recording of the media briefing. And so I listened to it again on my way over here today. Like I tried the best I could to kind of make it as easy as possible, because it is so confusing. And anything that makes our happy place more confusing is just frustrating. It's so frustrating. And yes, this comes on the heels of a terrible 19 months. And we have lost a lot of things in life personally, some of us more than others. And our heart goes out to you if that's the case. And when your happy place is messed with, it's hard. And so we know the optics of this. Like, we as Disney fans can sit here and shake our fists all we want to at Disney and go, why? Why now? Why did this have to come now of all times? Well, it's here. And so we need to link arms and band together and try to get through it together. And I'm super interested in trying it out in the park next week. We'll see how it goes. And as always here at the Diz, we're going to be as honest as possible with you. So if we get in the park and it doesn't work, we'll let you know. And the opposite is also true. If we get in the park and it's okay, we're going to let you know that too. And if we have any hints, tricks or tips that we find out from utilizing this technology in the park, we'll let you know, so that we are all on better footing once we come and visit.
It sounds like you're wrapping up, but we still have some other stuff to talk about.
We do have some other things.
I'm saying it because people seem to be saying goodbye in here for some reason. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm just getting nervous.
We wanted to make sure that they like they knew, like, oh, but no, time to just turn off because
we're in charge of the clock today.
This is it, bud.
Stay with us.
Are there any other questions? Nope.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Housekeeping. Me too. If everyone's brain hurts, we let's all take a deep cleansing breath.
I'm literally going to print out your article and just carry it around on a piece of paper with me like it's like I'm in school again.
Just do it. Please go read the article. It's on the homepage, and there's a good conversation going on in the comments section on the article too. So let us know. Let us know if you want to chime in, because I'm keeping an eye on those comments. And if I have 2 cents worth, I'll pop in there and drop them in there. But does anybody have anything else that they want to mention before we close the show? Anything? Bueller?
I did eat at Steakhouse 71 the other night.
And?
So that was one of two things that I've done on properties in the past month, because I've been out, obviously. I loved it. It's basically, if I have to tell you what Steakhouse 71 is, take the wave and turn it up like 3 notches and lose nothing and just gain things.
Wow.
That's Steakhouse 71. They got the theming as you're walking in. They have the theming of like the opening of Walt Disney World and Magic Kingdom up there on the wall. Mm. It's so cool to see. The restaurant inside itself is beautiful, and the food was out of this world. They have, and it's Steakhouse now. It's a lot of the same menu items from the wave, but now it's Steakhouse 71. So you've got all the different cuts of steak you can choose from. And then from there, you pick your cut, then you pick your side, then you pick your sauce, and you can also, if you want, get the sauce flight. It's only $6, and they give you all the sauces.
A sauce flight.
And I did that. And that's like a one-and-done kind of thing, I think. But your first time at Steakhouse 71, get the sauce flight, figure out what your flavor is.
Okay.
For me, the Steakhouse 71 signature or the chimichurri, those two are my winners. But I'd recommend get that so you can try everything and know which flavor you like. But it was awesome.
Nice. It was great. That's high praise from you, Fiasco. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed at all. It's the wave. It's the wave. You know, plus two, plus three. You know, so
it's the new wave of the wave. Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rhino, do you have something for our Patreon peeps?
I just want to remind everybody that we're going to have our after show still today. Patreon.com/DizUnplug. We do that every week after the Tuesday show. We do a little. Usually it's about like 30 minutes, breakdown where we let our hair down and just chat about some topics that we didn't get to talk more about on the show. But I don't want to hear another breath about this genie.
Well,
but other than that, I don't want people asking us questions in the chat afterwards, but you know they kind of.
Well, I want to talk about Daniel Craig, James Bond.
Oh, I saw No Time to Die again.
Is that okay?
Yeah, twice now.
That's what's on my mind today, really.
It's not Disney, but I don't care.
Okay, all right, good. And I got to go to Nomad Lounge. I know I'm years late, but I just have to
say. Wait, you had never gone before?
I've never gone to Nomad Rad Lounge.
Because I know you don't drink, but they have such a menu of non-alcoholic drinks too there. Yeah.
Fantastic mocktails.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful one. And we ate all the chefs. Like, we just said, yes, we want them all.
Did you sit out on the outside area?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Delightful. And we had the 50th anniversary venison chili.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Sausage hot dog.
How was
good.
That?
Good.
Craig, I think you told me about
very
that.
Very good.
Yeah. I had it. It was. I didn't do a review of it. It was during, as I was there with friends. So it was just, I had it. I liked it.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
That the beef sliders, we won't get those again. Those were a little
beef.
Those little pricey. Those little sliders. Gregory, do you have anything else that you want to throw out there before we wrap up for today?
Well, don't we have to still go over the crew stuff?
Oh, daggone. I'm so glad I've
been waiting for that.
That's what I meant, but I was I don't know anything about that.
I think our dreams overlords would be upset if we did not talk about that.
They would. So today, and Jackie would be upset too, because she wrote a fabulous article. So go to dclfan.com and read Jackie's latest article that she has put up. DCL, Disney Cruise Line, has introduced their early 2023 itineraries. They did that today. There are a lot of different options on there, and including, you know, we've got the Wish and the Dream and the Fantasy going out of Florida. We've got the Magic going out of Texas and New Orleans. And we've got the Wonder doing out of San Diego. So I like to say that the Wonder does the Love Boat ports, because like Mazatlan and Cabo San Lucas and just all the ports that, when I was a young, impressionable person watching The Love Boat, I would see them going to those ports. So that's where the Wonder goes. You can do like a whole Remembering the Love Boat tour if you'd like to. But definitely, if you are interested in any of these cruises, they start on Thursday the 14th with Platinum Castaway Club members and with Golden Oak residents. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of go from there regarding, I think it's Monday is when it's Gold Castaway Club and DVC and AP, I think.
Friday is
Gold. Friday. Okay. Yeah. There are different affinity groups for every day. So definitely go to dclfan.com. Don't rely on what I'm saying, although I know the information about the 14th is correct. But definitely go to Jackie's article and check that out. She's got it all listed out plain as day right there for you and me and everyone. And it's fantastic. Yeah. And go to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Ultimately, people, this is the way to help out the channel the most, is booking your next DCL vacation with dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. You can request a free no obligation quote, and no matter, just based on how much you spend on your Disney Cruise Line vacation, you get an amount of shipboard credit. And there is nothing better than walking onto one of those DCL ships with a little change in your pocket. So definitely check out dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Gonna say, Craig?
There's no real big surprises with the 2023, mm-hmm. except the confirmation that, I mean, it's, I think it might have already been scheduled a little bit for Miami, but you know, Disney Dream is moving to Miami. Mm-hmm. So if that is the ship that you have fallen in love with, because you have always gone on it for 3 and 4 night cruises out of Port Canaveral, I would recommend getting your cruises on it if you always insist on going out of Port Canaveral, because it's going down to Miami, and it's Fantasy and the Wish are going to be running out of here. Fantasy still on 7, Wish on 3 and 4. So you have lots of opportunities to experience those ships. But yeah, and same thing obviously goes with the Magic. I mean, it's Magic seems like it won't see Florida probably again starting in 2023. It'll just be doing its different itineraries and going to Europe as well too. So we're all excited about the Disney Wish, but with the Disney Wish coming in, that also means these ships have to be placed other places.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a transition for Disney Cruise Line in the long run. So get your final cruises on these ships that you know and love when they're still out of their typical homes, because it's going to get crazy.
It is going to get crazy. It's going to be different. You've taken one of your two dudes on a cruise out of Miami. Do you have any advice for people who are, you know, maybe flying into Central Florida or based in Central Florida, so used to going an hour over to the port at Canaveral, now they have to go down to Miami? Do you have any advice?
First off, do Miami, because okay. I think the experience of getting on and off a ship in Miami is even easier than Port Canaveral, which is not that bad. But the three times... Sorry, I've only done twice out of Miami and once out of Fort Lauderdale. And I have loved the experience. Yes, Miami is a lot further away. And if you fly into Central Florida, you have a 4-hour journey to get down to Miami and then have to think about the idea of maybe I book a hotel for the night, blah, blah, blah. There's lots of extras that go into it. But the experience is, in my opinion, it's a lot better. And even though, like... Castaway Key is kind of like, at Nassau and all that, you know, it's not like, it's not super south in the Caribbean. It's just off the coast of Florida. It's really not that far. But for Miami and some of the other destinations you go to in the Caribbean, I like it because it's like, you feel like you have a head start on getting down there. Mm. So I do like the aspect of cruising out of Miami, but also the magic was out of Miami most of the time. Yeah. And I love the magic.
Me so, too.
I was supposed to go on it in November, but I'm not.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. That's a bummer about the magic needing to move. And you're right. Something new comes online. Something's got to get bumped. And it's the magic. So if you have the opportunity, if you live in Texas, willing to fly to Texas or NOLA, go for it. Man, that ship is fantastic. It is just so, so, so good. I think that's it. Anybody have anything else to say? Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing? Okay. All right. I think we're done. Thank you so much to Rhino and Fiasco and Craig for being a part of this conversation. It was so much fun today.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Hashtag thanks, Bob. That's
what is that?
It's just the way that Bob Iger always responds. Oh, okay. Thanks, Bob. It's monotone and just kind of like it's fading in distance. Thanks, Bob.
I don't think I've ever heard him emote at all.
It's weird to see him when he tells a story and then he goes, and he laughs for a second. Have you noticed that too? He does the da-da-da-da. it's a ha 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 ha, and then it goes.
Oh, God, love him. Oh, Bob. Bless you, Bob. All right. So we are done for today. We're going to wrap it up. We hope that your week is a great one. Again, if you are a Patreon supporter, definitely hang on for the next show. We'll meet you there in just a little bit. And again, if you have questions about Disney Genie, plop them in the comment section and we'll do our best to jump in there. A lot of this, we're going to find out next week.
Yeah.
It's going to be trial by fire, and we'll be here for it and alongside you. Take good care, guys. Have a great week. Thanks for watching. Bye.